Support for MPB comes from the Mississippi Museum of Art in Jackson. What Became of Dr. Smith by artist Noah Satterstrom is on view beginning April 20th. Learn more at msmuseumart.org.
This podcast is a local production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting and depends on the support of listeners like you. If you can, please donate today at mpbonline.org. And thanks.
Hi, I'm Sarah Story, Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. Welcome to the Mississippi Arts Hour, a weekly conversation with creative Mississippians from across the state. Today we're joined by Ryan N. Dennis, an American curator and writer who is currently Chief Curator and Artistic Director at the Mississippi Museum of Art's Center for Art and Public Exchange. And we will be discussing their upcoming exhibition, Piercing the Inner Wall, The Art of Dusty Bonjay. Welcome, Ryan.
Hi, Sarah. So nice to be with you on air today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Working from home today, as maybe many of us listening still are in that process, and, you know, balancing as we do, especially right now in these moments.
Absolutely. And you're still pretty new to Jackson, and I just moved back. So we're kind of in the same boat, just navigating new jobs and new times in a pandemic world.
Completely. Which, you know, I've actually really been enjoying, you know, the transition and just finding out about Jackson and like what it has to offer in this moment in time. So, you know, I tell everyone I've really enjoyed like going to the mounds, right? Like in Natchez and just really exploring the land here. It's been a really grounding and like kind of spiritual exercise for me and my family. But also, you know, navigating the terrain that is, right, the Mississippi Museum of Art, and learning about my colleagues, right, through new modes of communication via like the Zoom room, et cetera, which has been really exciting. It's a test of like strength in a lot of ways. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Sure you feel similar to that with your new position.
Yeah, it's not the same getting to know people by digital means as it is in person, but you know, there are definitely positives as well that, you know, we're all just trying to focus on. So, well, today we are talking about an upcoming exhibition, and I'm personally excited about this exhibition because it comes to you guys from the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, where I worked from 2012 to 2018. So I'm just thrilled that Dusty's work is coming back to Mississippi. So I'd love to just hear, in your words, just a little bit about what this exhibition is going to share with our museum community.
So, you know, Piercing the Inner Wall, The Art of Dusty Bonjay, Dusty is an artist who is widely considered to be Mississippi's artist to work consistently in a kind of modernist style. I think folks will be really moved by the kind of between like figurative and really kind of cubist depiction of her life, right? From being in her Mississippi home in the 1930s, and then, you know, going through a kind of period of surrealism and into this kind of more abstract expressionist style that really, really defined the kind of the nature of her work. I think, you know, I just actually got home from going to the galleries, and so it was really wonderful. You know, at this point where you lay an exhibition out, with your exhibition designer online. So it was just nice to, you know, and obviously have a checklist, but it was just nice to be in the galleries with the work and see it up close and personal. My hope really is that, folks connect to the many styles of work that she navigated through and learn a bit about her life. For those who, you know, don't know, I actually did not know Dusty Bonjay. And so it's been rewarding to have some understanding about where she sits within this kind of abstract expressionist style as a woman, as a woman from Mississippi. So it's been, which I'm still learning. So it's been a good learning experience. And I'm just thrilled for folks to have some time to come into the galleries and, you know, just be with the work. It's really quite meditative and contemplative, you know.
I think that what you're experiencing is what a lot of folks will be experiencing. I'm sure a few people here and there have heard of Dusty Bonjay, but probably are not as familiar with her work and absolutely have not had the chance to see a whole body of work at one time. So I think that will be really special. What struck you when you were unpacking the art, laying it out? What was surprising to you to see the work in person as a whole rather than on a screen, as you've probably been studying it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, like scale, you know, the scale differences between the work, earlier work is, you know, more studies and smaller kind of canvas paintings. And then you move into a kind of surrealism aspect of, she calls them keyhole people, or kind of like into the voids. And I just love the play of scale, right? And also like coloration, just recognizing, which you don't, you know, it's hard to read, no matter how, you know, how high res an image can be, it's just hard to read how colors show up on a screen. And so there's a lot of beautiful markings with color, and just, you can, in my opinion, you know, really get a sense of how she was like sitting with work and her brush strokes, and just feel really kind of like intentional and sensitive all at the same time.
That's great. That's a great description. And is this all 2D work? Did she make any 3D or sculptural work?
Yeah,
in this
actually,
show?
I mean, majority of it. So the exhibition really comprises of about 65 paintings. I think there's approximately 28 or 29 works on paper, and then the three sculptures. And so you're familiar, Sarah, with the museum's galleries. And so what I've done is, the kind of smaller works, you know, when you walk into the museum, there has been a, like the pre-Columbian works that are on view right in the kind of corridor. And so I've staged like her old workstation, paintings, et cetera, paints in some of the corridors. And then there are some sculptures of hers in smaller studies, which is really like an alluring, you know, opportunity, I think, for folks to, you know, walk their way down the corridor and then be met with, you know, these larger paintings.
That's awesome. That's really exciting. So as you've been just learning more about the Mississippi Museum of Art and the story it tells, how do you think Dusty fits into this story of Mississippi and our artist?
I mean, it's a good question. You know, I'm now 9 months in with the museum, and, you know, there's been a lot of conversation and a push really to think about where artists, women and artists of color find themselves, not only in our collection, but more with the kind of exhibition of their work. And so I think Dusty's work in this exhibition is a true kind of opportunity for us to demonstrate how, you know, the exhibitions that we will take or produce is in line with our, you know, strategic plan, with the vision that Betsy Bradley, our director, has for the museum, you know, really thinking about regional context while I'm finding ways to make connections to, you know, folks outside of the region, but still with the ethos of like regionality, womanness, and people of color, which is, you know, an exciting kind of journey to be on and to also, you know, stimulate with the museum.
Absolutely. And there are quite a few women artists that were creating during that time. Have you found that Dusty had influences by women artists, or were they were more male artists, or what was she sort of thinking mm-hmm. through as she was creating?
Yeah, you know, so some of the literature that I've been reading has really been about her kind of like her contemporaries, Agnes Martin, Jackson Pollock, Robert Rauschenberg, you know, Clifford Still. If you think about kind of male abstract expressionists, you know, I think there has been a lot written about how, you know, these were her friends and these were folks that were influential for her, but also that she, you know, she had influence on. But as, you know, as I believe that artists are, you know, it's like the kind of point and direction that we have from these kind of male abstractionists. I think so much of where women sat in this kind of in this historical like moment is still being shared in so many ways, right? And so the connections I think were there. It's just that maybe we're late to catch up, right? And just state what some of those who some of those folks were. If it was kind of a Lee Krasner, you know, other abstract expressionist women that we know but have not maybe made those connections to Dusty. And I'm hoping that this exhibition illuminates some of that for us internally, but also with our viewers, right? Or at least allows for people to become more curious about where women were in the period of abstract expressionism, because there are, you know, there are so many, you know, central to the production of a painting during that time.
Absolutely, and it is, it's exciting to have a rediscovery of an artist's work. And of course, just make all of those great connections from the names that are more household names, a little bit more so than Dusty Bonjay. So that's great. I'm so just thrilled that you guys are thinking through this and producing this exhibition in Jackson.
This is Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. You are listening to the podcast version of the Mississippi Arts Hour. To have access to all Arts Hour interviews, subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcasting app. You can also listen to the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor, from fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Welcome back to the Mississippi Arts Hour on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. I'm Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. Today, I'm talking with Ryan Dennis, the curator at the Mississippi Museum of Art, and we are discussing the upcoming exhibition, Piercing the Inner Wall, The Art of Dusty Bonjay. Thanks again, Ryan, for joining us today.
So good to be on with you, Sarah.
So I'd love to just hear more and just give folks listening a little bit better idea of Dusty Bonjay's life, you know, when her time she was born in Mississippi to her long journey around to different cities and back again.
Of course. I mean, so Dusty was born in August of 1903. She was raised in Biloxi, She attended Blue Mountain College in 1919. And then at some point, I mean, she received her kind of parents' blessing to leave Mississippi, and she went to study theater in Chicago in 1921. I think around this time is when she met her husband, Archie Bonge, who was a painter and what some have described, I guess, as like a kind of cowboy-esque, you know, guy from Nebraska. I mean, Dusty and Archie got married in 1928, and they actually came back to Mississippi, had their wedding in Biloxi. And, you know, from my, you know, readings and just research on Dusty, it seems to me that Archie had a really big influence on Dusty, just in terms of getting her maybe to expand her like creative practice right into painting. I mean, as a person who is married to a musician, I definitely understand the kind of expansion that happens like creatively, right? For someone when you're in such a kind of close, intimate relationship. It appears to me too that Dusty was really like a kind of curious woman, a kind of, you know, already interested in acting in theater. And just, you know, when you are then with married to a painter and then moving to New York, right, your eyes and your senses just open up in so many different directions. And I think that is what we see within Dusty's, you know, au revoir of painting, really. And you can see it in the galleries. Like, what's so, you know, what's so nice to see through her paintings is how the coast is represented, and like time periods and also geographic locations have in fact influenced some of the work as well, right? I feel like there are some paintings within the exhibition that literally like resonate certain feelings that I had while living in New York, right? Like, it's just a little more grim, it's a little more like textured, it's a bit more you know, grittier than say a scene, a landscape of beachside, you know, water and just like a free flowing, you know, movement within a painting that we see. So, you know, Dusty and her husband Archie, you know, had a, I think, intense kind of beautiful life together, but he also got really sick not too long after they were married. And you know, they got married in 1928, and then he passed away in 1935. And between that time, she had a son, Lyle, and he was born in, I believe, 1929, right? And so if you know, Archie passes away in 1935, and then she has this life of, you know, being a painter, but also being a single mother. And, you know, I think, you know, Dusty has been, she was a fortunate woman, right? And so I think even within her fortune is, for me, recognizing her womanness and her single, you know, being a single mother while still actively pursuing a kind of painting career during the time that this was, you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s was still quite a significant kind of mark for her.
That's amazing. And you know, for her to even go to college as a woman during that time was fairly rare. So that's amazing that she went to Blue Mountain College and then even went on to Chicago to do theater. Can you see the time period in her paintings change after Archie passed?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you see, or at least sense, is they're just so drastic in their explorations, and I think one just might be very curious, like, wow, what was going on in this woman's life for these, you know, expressions to be as like drastic as they were. And so, obviously for people who are just kind of coming to know this painter, you know, I think I'm always really curious about, yeah, what people were going through, like why the decision to make these kind of voids, or, you know, the keyhole people, more surrealist kind of paintings, or, you know, sometimes people just need to not put too much into, say, a painting, and then you have something more like cerebral, but also very bodily, right? Like within these kind of abstracted moments. So I think you can see it. And I think it is felt through not only her like life transitions, but where she literally was like at a moment in time, right? Like between Mississippi or New York, et cetera.
Absolutely. Did she show where was her career mostly known? Was she known in New York or on the coast during her lifetime?
Good question. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. It is escaping me, which is really terrible, but there was a gallery that she showed with in New York that really kind of opened up a lot of support and opportunity for her, which I think was really kind of significant. I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting the name of this the gallerist right now. There is also something really interesting, I think, about like artists that come from the South, and how kind of quote unquote well known they are. I mean, I think obviously during the time that Dusty was working, she was probably overshadowed by the number of, you know, like male artists dominating, you know, opportunities. You know, I think we know what that story looks like. And so, you know, her, I guess, well-knownness is happening now through an exhibition like this. And, you know, it's my hope, you and I talked a little bit about this a few days ago, that, you know, there might be other opportunities where this exhibition travels, say, to Chicago or to New York, to really make the connections of her her life in the places like that she has touched and with her paintings as a kind of influence. You know, I think it would be such a great opportunity for her legacy and her family as well.
Absolutely. And it's always fascinating to just see when exhibitions like this do travel to other cities. You always discover new things about the artists along the way. I'm sure you found that to be
right.
True as well.
Completely. Completely.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
So what, is there a piece when you've been looking through the exhibition, you know, putting it together, laying it out, is there a piece or a series that has really struck you personally?
Good question, Sarah. You know, sometimes I try not to get have favorites in this show. But I will say, she has a series of, they're called voids. So they're essentially these kind of large scale, well, they feel very like surreal, circular drawings, pretty intense coloration that was Done really like in the 80s, actually. I just find those to be really stunning. I don't know. I think it's like there is something within those paintings that connect to her earlier paintings, but just more like mature, almost more refined and kind of directed. But also, I mean, I'm a person that meditates quite often, and so there is, I think, within this section, there just seems to be something like spiritual about like an investigation that she might have been going through. You know, I'm really looking forward to Bradley, who is the exhibition's curator from the Ogden, when he gives his talk, which will be on February 20th. It will be a virtual program, but I'm really looking forward to hearing how some of these really distinct sections, like how he was thinking about them when he organized it. But yeah, I mean, I'm really moved by the void section and some of her later work, specifically, yeah, between like 1982 to 87, these really lovely, like red-orange drawings or paintings. One of my favorites, you know, if we will, is called Big Red and Passage. And they're just scale-wise, it's, again, they're like scale is has maximized within, you know, this body of work. And there's just something more, yeah, intentional and like refined about, I guess, the way that she was working in this time period, which I loved.
That's great. Yeah, and you mentioned there was a wide range of scale in this exhibition, so folks will be able to see maybe the process of how she thought about her work, from studies on paper to larger scale. Is that
completely? Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and I always love seeing studies. I mean, it's one of my favorite things about yeah, an artist, you just get to see the process and what changed. You know, you as a viewer get to study what they were, you know, kind of looking at, which is great.
Yeah, and just how the marks change from smaller scale to larger scale, just themes that they're thinking through. I agree, it's always one of my favorite parts of an exhibition. So actually, I've never seen her studies, so that will be a real treat for me.
This is Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. You are listening to the podcast version of the Mississippi Arts Hour. To have access to all Arts Hour interviews, subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcasting app. You can also listen to the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m.
Hi, I'm Walt Grayson. You can now listen to the wild, weird, and wonderful stories of Mississippi with Mile Marker.
Some of the big names that travel up and down the highways, obviously Elvis and Johnny Cash, and you have Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins.
Join me as we hit the roads of Mississippi on Mile Marker.
Johnny Cash suggested that Carl write a song called Blue Suede Shoes. That was all kind of created with Aaron Amory.
You can listen by going to mpbonline.org/radio or by using your favorite podcasting app.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Welcome back to the Mississippi Arts Hour on MPB. I'm Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. And we're joined today by Ryan Dennis, our curator over at the Mississippi Museum of Art. And today we're discussing a new exhibition that'll open in February, Piercing the Inner Wall, The Art of Dusty Bonjay. And Dusty Bonjay, of course, was an artist from Biloxi. And we are just so excited to have her work in Jackson. Ryan, so we were talking a little bit offline about the title of the exhibition. And I know this is an unfair question because you did not curate the show and you're discovering it along the way, as we all are right now. But I'm struck by the title. So It's called Piercing the Inner Wall, The Art of Dusty Manger. And there's this great quote where Dusty talks about this concept. She says, "The inner wall is, of course, up to you. It is a highly individual thing that surrounds the real person, not the superficial covering. I've always had the feeling that thoughts, ideas, and emotions can penetrate just like an arrow. They go straight through to that inner wall." So as you've been looking at this body of work and taking it in, sitting with it, thinking through it, what does that mean to you, the piercing the inner wall?
First, I think it's such a lovely quote to bring out. I think that quote kind of makes me think about this kind of concept of investigation with her work, or like a kind of curiosity, and like again this kind of exploration of like maybe a whatever kind of possible within without limitations, right? I don't think, and maybe it's just by maybe Dusty's upbringing, a kind of ability, right, to not dream with barriers, right? Seems like this exploration of kind of freedom and growth and et cetera is reflected within that quote to me. And you can also see it, I think, within the artwork. And as you move through the exhibition, maybe in a lot of ways, it's just not being kind of like tethered to one thing or another, but giving yourself a kind of freedom and expansiveness to try what works for your spirit and your soul in a moment's time throughout your life, right? Like this life that we have, it is potentially going to be long for us, you know, whatever that means, right? Relatively speaking, but, you know, being kind of active in your pursuits. That's what it means to me. And again, I think what will be really exciting is to hear from Bradley and to hear like his thinking behind utilizing maybe aspects of that quote, you know, within the title. But that's my perspective from not the, you know, organizing curator, but it seems kind of telling, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I think
I interview you a little bit?
Absolutely.
No, I'm just curious like what your reflection is to that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Dusty, just through her work and the little bit that I've seen, it is very reflective. It's reflective of her emotions, as you mentioned, the life around her, whether it was New York or the coast, you know, going through a death, bringing life into the world, and just mm-hmm. it just one person's exploration of all of that. And one of my favorite things about a work of a singular artist is the opportunity for us as viewers to really explore what it means to us individually. I mean, this was one woman's life and one woman's experience, but we all can learn and grow and see something in that. You know, maybe we see something new, or maybe we see something in ourselves, or recognize an aspect of her mark making, or her quotes, or her what she's thinking through. And so I'm excited. It's great to hear what you take away from the exhibition. It's going to be exciting to hear what Bradley Summerall, the curator, says. And then it'll be great to just hear from the community what they experience walking through this exhibition by one woman who, you know, mm-hmm. lived in 1903 to 1993. So it was mm-hmm. a long life.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, in her career, right, spanned between the 1930s and the 90s, when, I mean, just like within a period of an American history, all of, you know, so many things were happening in those time periods. So it's interesting. But also, you know, I think what I've also kind of come to understand maybe about Dusty is this, maybe just like her up, like her upbringing and being, she just seemed like a very Southern woman, right? and maybe really had a kind of blessed life to, you know, move and navigate in the way that she did. So it's, you know, all of those things are really kind of fascinating when you think about like such a time period of like between the 30s and the 90s with so much going on, I'm sure. But then situating her within that, you know, within that time frame is just really interesting to think about.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting. Well, I definitely look forward to seeing the exhibition and just learning more along the way. And there will be some resources maybe online that you had mentioned before that visitors and people that are interested could check out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are planning a number of programs between the opening, which happened on February 20th, and the exhibition is on view until May 23rd. So between kind of March and May, we'll have more gallery talks. There will, you know, potentially be some art on film and studio visits with local artists, you know, around kind of mixed media and abstract work. And then a family day will take place on May 1st from 9:30 to 12:30, which is a fun, filled, I think, day for, you know, Miss Jackson, the Mississippians, really inspired by the exhibition and other exhibitions that we'll have on view at that time.
That's great. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what else is coming up. What else are you working on over there at the museum?
Yeah, what's on view? Our New Symphony of Time, which is our exhibition around our permanent collection, will be on view. And we are also working on Betty Starr Call and Response, which is an exhibition organized by LACMA in Los Angeles. But we are bringing that down to Mississippi, which is very exciting. That will happen April 10th through July 11th. So working on that. And then, of course, the kind of fall exhibition, which I'll just plug, is the Mississippi Invitational, which will happen August 14th through October, mid-October.
That's great. And so what is the process for that? Are you guys, do you have a juror that's working on that now, or are you guys curating it internally?
The Invitational? The Invitational is being curated by Danielle Burns Wilson, who is a curator based in Houston, Texas. She is in the process or nearly almost done with studio visits with folks who submitted work. And we are, you know, just working towards, I mean, she's been introduced to so many Mississippian artists, which is really fantastic. I selected Danielle. She's a dear friend and a colleague, but just thinking about regionality and really amplifying, right, voices and curators of our region. So I'm very excited to see her perspective and what she produces for us.
That's exciting. I always enjoy seeing that exhibition. Is it every year or is it every other year? The Invitational.
Every year.
Every year. Yeah, that's great. And so tell us a little bit more about, I believe you have a new artist in residence as well at CAPE. Is that correct?
We do. Shani Peters is our 2021 artist in residence. We received funding from the Mellon Foundation to do new residencies. So we have funding for 2021, 2022, and 2023, which we're so excited about. Shani Peters is a Harlem-based artist, but her and her family are actually moving to New Orleans in the next few weeks. So her kind of practice is so aligned with CAPE in terms of the values which are centered around equity and transparency and truth. Shani comes from years of kind of weaving community projects and resident voices with, you know, educational opportunities that then create like objects, et cetera. So she is working, you know, right now we are working through like care-centered work. And so identifying women, mothers, people of color who are making, or she will make connections, if you will, around care-centered practices, especially, you know, after the year that we all just came out of. So our first kind of phase of the project is to identify like a group of community workers, which we are doing right now, and really establishing some relationships. So we're in a phase of relationship building, which is, you know, really kind of making a lot of adjustments because of, you know, this COVID moment where, you know, you would typically in previous times just like meet up for lunch or like have these, you know, moments where people can just be in real life and real
meet,
time
meet someone in their home.
Exactly. All of those things. And so it's been an interesting and I think learning moment for all of us to how to build new relationships when we are not physically like in, you know, in one another's space. And those type of conversations also happen so organically. But so we're building her project out and up with residents of Jackson, and we look forward to having a kind of public program where Shani will introduce herself to our public by way of a lecture in the Zoom room at some point in the next, I think in early March, April, and then identifying students and mothers and other workers that will kind of expand these community projects that she is proposing with us. So I'm very much looking forward to her. And I've worked with Shani as well. She is just so community minded. And when we think about CAPE, I mean, there are a lot of artists, I think, doing kind of socially engaged practices, but she's just so thoughtful. And I think she would make just a perfect, she makes such a perfect addition to, you know, the values that we're trying to set out at the museum. So stay tuned.
That's great. And that's great to hear that that it's tied around care centers. I know that's been difficult for so many people, as you mentioned, especially in the past year. And you have a young child, so I'm sure you're feeling that very real right
now. It's very real.
Mm-hmm. I also love that that you're connecting with an artist that is going to be working the community in that way through the museum's program. I think a lot of people, when they think about museums, they think, oh, you go and, you know, see some art on a wall or maybe a sculpture in the grass. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you to be able to have this other program that does go out into the community?
I mean, I always, you know, I come from a kind of background where community practice and building is like just part of my life, right? It's not just about work. It has made its way through work, but finding ways that a museum can expand its walls and really, you know, maybe even be uncomfortable, right? Like find and identify what makes the kind of expansion uncomfortable so that we can then bridge these gaps of who walks into the walls, but also how do people engage with like public works outside of the campus of the museum? How can there be interventions, you know, within other parts of Jackson that seem just kind of, again, like it's an intervention. So there are these opportunities that are able to happen, that piques one's curiosity to hopefully have some engagements that are met at the museum but elsewhere. So I'm just really keen on finding ways to expand that and develop it at the museum. And I think through a program like CAPE, we're able to do so, but also, you know, through exhibitions like Leonardo Drew, which is on view right now, or, you know, thinking about public art and just and exhibition making and commissions and more, you know, truly expansive ways that are engaging and allow for us to do our work and meet people where they are. It's really important.
That's great. Well, Ryan, we're so glad that you're in Jackson. We're just thrilled that you're a part of our arts community now, and just grateful
I'm thrilled
for your
to be
work.
Here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it.
This is Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. You are listening to the podcast version of the Mississippi Arts Hour. To have access to all Arts Hour interviews, subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcasting app. You can also listen to the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jimmy Stewart, Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. On the original Southern Remedy, we answer questions about all aspects of your health and share some of the latest medical information in the news. You can listen to the show on Wednesdays at 11 on MPB Think Radio, or you can subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy on your preferred podcasting app.